This is one of the turning points in Lent. It's the Saturday of the second week. We're getting into Lent. Hopefully, we're becoming aware of our sins. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. If we're following the liturgy, if we're reading the Psalms, then the Lord is able to work with us. Huh? And so it's about time to have a bit of reality therapy and understand who God really is. And that's why we have these readings today. And you can well imagine people who are getting ready to be baptized, getting ready to go and make a general confession, you know, they're thinking of their sins. And they need to hear the word of God about who God really is. And so do we. This first reading from the book of Micah, this marvelous thing. Who is there like you? The God who removes guilt and pardons sin for the remnant of his inheritance, who does not persist in anger forever, but rather delights in clemency, and will again have compassion on us, treading underfoot our guilt. See, he's trying to win us over. Now, first we have to realize, as this boy did in the story that our Lord told, what our sins really do. We wind up eating pig food. That's what they do. And we're stuck. Unless we return to the Father. And of course, that's the word for conversion in Hebrew, is to return. Go back. Come back to the Father. Now, I've done this 100 times. You've heard it 100 times. But I'm going to take a little time, hope not too much. It's precious. See, if we can get this into us, we can show others mercy. You know, we walk around all day judging everybody, mad at somebody. You know, what's wrong with us? You know, if we were looking at our own sins, we wouldn't be doing all that. So the story, so the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to Jesus, all the riffraff. See, all the bag ladies and the drunks are all hanging around Jesus. And everybody else is kind of shocked. So he tells them a story. A father had 2 sons. And the younger one said to his father, Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me. I remember I've told you this 100 times, but it's still worth hearing again, I think. I started to tell this story to 2 young Muslim boys. I said, Jesus told this story about, see, Allah the Merciful. See, this is how he talked about him. And he said, a father had 2 sons, just what you heard there. And one of the boys said to me, his brother should have killed him on the spot. Imagine talking to your father like that. Now that shock value of the parable intended by Jesus is totally lost on us because we don't respect our father. And so we don't realize the impudence. In a way, he's saying, I wish you were dead, then I can have the rest of the will, you see. Give me what comes to me. What comes to you, you little punk? Nothing. I generated you. I gave you life. I fed you. I cared for you. Now you want what comes to you when I die to go off and have a party. That's us. Jesus does not palliate this little boy, you know, and say, well, he's a nice little kid. No, he's not. You see, he's not depraved, deprived. He's depraved. So you know the story. He goes off, and he has a fine time with his money. And, of course, he's a spoiled brat. He expects, now that he's run out of money, everybody's going to think he's a living doll and take care of him. Well, it doesn't work that way. Start a little reality therapy. He gets a job feeding pigs. Jews hate pigs. They can't eat pork. That's his job. And the guy who hired him, he's never offered him a sandwich. You know, so he wants to eat the pig food. These are these pods, you know, these. I tried one day, because they grow on trees in Israel. I went, what did that fellow really eat? I forgot, carob pods, you know. If you pick them up enough, you can make chocolate out of them. But if you pull them off a tree and eat them, they're ghastly. So this is what he's feeding on. Nothing. Terrible food. So finally, he comes to himself. And he thought, you see, how many of my father's hired workers? Notice later on, he's going to talk to the servants. These are not servants. These are hired workers. Every day, go out into the square and hire a bunch of people. Now we have these places where the young guys, you know, mostly Hispanic guys, looking for a day's work to support their family. They wait there for a construction guy. I'll take you, and you get in the truck and you'll work today. And I'll pay you at the end of the day. The hired workers. How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough to eat? And here am I dying from hunger. At least he's beginning to feel the pinch. And he's beginning to realize who his father really is. That's a great breakthrough. You see, and so I shall get up and go to my father. And I've got, now he's going to make a step. Father, I have sinned against God and against you. And I am not worthy to be called your son. Absolutely correct. That's conversion. Now he's hoping for something. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Absolutely correct. Treat me as you would one of your hired workers. That is, hire me day by day. At least I'll get a decent meal and I'll, you know. I want to be one of you, not even a servant, a hired worker. So he got up and went to his father. While he was still a long way off, this is the Son of God telling us this. This is the second person of the Trinity who knows the Father telling us this story. His father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. And one of the most beautiful commentaries on this, by the way, is Pope John Paul II. He's in his little encyclical on the Sacrament of Penance. It's a beautiful thing. And very biblical, as I'm going to try to point out now. I know I'm taking time. But I thought, if we can remember it, there's a lot of people that we could tell this story to, if we can get it straight ourselves. So he ran to his son. He didn't sit on the porch and say, I wonder what this kid's wanting when he gets here. He got off the porch, and he ran out to him. A couple hundred yards, half mile, wherever he saw him, he ran to him. Ran to him. Now, who is this father? This is God. This is God. His son said to him, and he starts his speech, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. And he gets to the word son, and he's got his next line, and the father says, interrupts him. Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. The finest robe belongs to the son. Everything he says, I don't deserve to be called, absolutely correct, the father is going to do for him now. Put on a robe. Put a ring on his finger. Only members of the family wear rings. Put shoes on his feet. The servants don't wear shoes. Only the family wears shoes. Sandals. He's totally reinstated to the family. Then take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Let us celebrate with a feast. This father is that happy. were us. They got out of bed. They came to Mass. They're trying their best. I love them. I'll put the finest robe on them. I'll put a ring on their finger. I'll put shoes on their feet. And they will be part of my family forever. But I'm a sinner. I know that. I know that. I know that better than you do. And then the older son. What's wrong with this older son? Nothing. Except he doesn't understand his father at all. He's working to make sure he gets his. And he wants to earn it. He doesn't understand. He's already got it. So he's all bent out of shape. Because he stayed home and worked. No, that's fine. But he wants to earn it. The other kid, I don't know what he was thinking when he left, but he's coming back knowing he does not deserve a thing. He's living in reality. And so he hears, well, you know, they're in there having a party because your brother's back. And he got angry. Now do you see how unlike his father he is? He got angry. And this is us. We hear this part. We all take this, the older son's part, right? I can understand that. Well, we can understand it because we're not like the father. He should have said, wow, he's back. Thank God. That's great. Didn't he? Shouldn't he? I worked. He played around. And I'm jealous that he's back. He's getting unmerited love. That's the only kind there is. Okay. His father went out to him and pleaded with him. And he said, look, and then you can hear it. There's everything I've just tried to say to describe this older boy, you just hear it. All these years I served you, not once did I disobey your orders. Because I love you? No. Because I'm playing it safe. You never even gave me a young goat to feast on with my friends. When your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fatted calf. Now the father gives the kid one more chance. My son, you are here with me always. And everything I have is yours. He wasted his part. You're going to get your part. But now we must celebrate and rejoice because your brother was dead and has come to life again. It's your brother. If he had hung around with his father and learned who his father was, he'd be thrilled to death that his brother came home. Our Lord, when he told this parable, was trying to trick us too. He knew we'd all side with that older brother when we heard it. And then we'd have to stop and think, whoop, I'm on the wrong side. Why? Because I'm a jealous egomaniac that's trying to be safe with God by earning salvation. I've already got salvation. What's my problem? If we want to be saints, we have to be overwhelmed by the mercy of God. There's no other way. We have to love him so much that anything is okay. Well, how do we get that way? By going back to him and receiving his mercy. And lots. There's more. I should have mercy too, you know. You can analyze this in the terms that were given to us in the prophecy there of Micah, where it says, you have shown faithfulness to Jacob and grace to Abraham. That's emet and chesed. Those are the two things that the Father shows here, right? Chesed is... He's is, you know what it is, I've said it 100 times, right? It's enthusiastic fidelity to the covenant. So the father is enthusiastically faithful to this covenant with his son. And that's why he's just. Running out and embracing that son and restoring him totally to the family is an act of justice. Why? Because it honors the truth of the relationship. And he's his father. That's why the psalm we got, please read them over yourself so I can go on with the mass. But what's the psalm? 103. Bless the Lord, my soul. All my being, bless his name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What are they? He pardons your iniquities. He heals your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. And it goes on, you see, to talk about the justice of God. So this father is showing fidelity, you see, and mercy. When I'm merciful to somebody, forgive him, help him, love him, I'm only being just. I'm honoring the relationship. If today you get a chance, please, you know, read this 3 or 4 times and just beg the Lord to let it impact your heart. It'll change your life. Just say to the Father, please, let me see your face. Let me, even in this life, let me catch a glimpse of who you are. And you'll melt. And for the rest of your life, you'll be so embarrassed by all your stupid sins. And unlike the Father you are. But if we keep at it, if you keep at it, the Lord will change us.